The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. In this episode, we will continue to dig deeper into the theme of the November issue of Our State Magazine, which is Beauty in the Grain, featuring articles about the warmth of wood. And our first article is entitled All Hands on Deck. Building a wooden boat isn't easy, but for generations of North Carolinians, the hard work has been well worth the joy of a seaworthy vessel. And we have on one page here, we have the bow of a wooden skiff, as my dad would call it. On the facing page, it says the late Barry Fulcher commissioned Carteret County boat builder Jimmy Amspacker to craft a vessel for his son, Timothy, and his grandson, Chester Reed. The boat is named for Fulcher's late wife, Karen Sue. And it's the boat is called the Miss Karen out of Stacy, North Carolina. And let's dig into this. Number one, our wooden boats. First, we scarfed. In a Piedmont country shed, Bill Garlick and I, boaters but not boat builders until one Sunday afternoon, 3 days after Thanksgiving some years back, began to craft two small sailing skiffs, and we were hooked at once. We fashioned complementary angles on the ends of the two pairs of marine plywood sheets in order to scarf them and make each pair into one. We checked the fit, poured the glue, clamped them together, and thus started making the deck pieces for the two little sailboats. We laid our two pairs of plywood sheets end to end, then glued and clamped them together for all that was to come. The two new 16-foot-long sheets would give us the decks, sides, and transoms for our skiffs. On through that winter and more, working with chop saw, jigsaw, and planer, along with screwdrivers, glue, and clamps, so many clamps. We got the big pieces together, then fashioned ribs, seats, centerboards, trunks, mast steps, and almost plumb stems, and made the two boats, the fresh, bright smell of wood and sawdust always with us. And wood smoke, too, for only a stove heated the shed. Perhaps the slow-moving thrill of it all was seeing different pieces of wood joined and formed as boats aborning, boats that would someday carry us over water and give us that phenomenal and most useful freedom that has served mankind for millennia. And along the way of building, we got the gift of working our hands in wood as we cut and shaped it. Though the designer of our little 11-foot-6-inch Bevins sailing skiffs had, in his plans, revealed his disdain for the inevitable times of stopping for what he called some, quote, soulless sanding, close quote, we always laughed about that and found rewards in the new smoothness of sanded wood, even in the surface warmth of it if one touched it moments after lifting the sandpaper. Number two, ties to the past. No matter that each of our little crafts were 6 inches shy of a dozen feet long. Though we two amateurs knew we were not even a patch on the great Carolina wooden boat builders of the here and now or the shipwrights of the ages, still we felt tied to them as we worked, each and every step of the way, giving us the feeling of a very real kinship with them all. With the Native American dugout burners whom John White saw out there on Roanoke Island in the mid-1580s. With the shipwrights of Indiantown Creek up in Currituck and those at Shipyard Landing on the Pasquotank just above Elizabeth City. With those like George Washington Creef Sr., who's widely believed to have invented the shad boat on Roanoke Island, and the boat-building does there too. With Kay Banker and preaching builder Divine Guthrie and Carteret. With Captain Van Sant and his lovely little 11-foot racing moth boat, which he designed while laying over for yacht repairs in Elizabeth City in 1929. With the Varnums of Lockwood's Folly River, who built shrimpers down in Brunswick County. with the Lewises and the Roses of Harker's Island, and with Sutton Davis, who escaped slavery and built a pair of Sharpies at Davis Ridge, a mite further down east than Harker's Island, and fished them on Core Sound. And we could feel a tie, too, with those who more recently built at the Harvey W. Smith Watercraft Center in Beaufort a replica of the periauger, a highly popular Carolina wooden freight boat from years ago. My friend, the great coastal historian David Chileski, and I were fortunate to lay eyes upon it as it was lowered into Taylor's Creek for its water test. Keel, hull, and mast, all North Carolina cypress. Not long before it sailed up to its home at the Newbold White House on the Perquimans River, just southeast of Hertford. Just to feel a thread of kinship with any of these builders was powerful, and for Bill and me, it was enough, and it kept us going. So when we made our inaugural outing and the first of the two skips finished, we found great satisfaction in swiftly sailing most of a mile out on Core Sound from the eastern end of the straits. In this little craft that we had made board by board, cut by cut, and clamp by clamp, to just southeast of Brown's Island, just northeast of Harker's Island. Big open water everywhere, yet not a single solitary drop coming through our hull. Number three, the Core Sounders. Great good fortune long ago brought me to Jimmy Amspacker of Marshallburg, waterman, sailor, and engineer of both hydrodynamics and aeronautics, musician, core sounder, tall, rangy, as keen as red and ready as can be. If he cannot find it or fix it, he can make it. One day he may work on turning a Model T or an old VW into an impressive moving out hot rod. And on another, he might be sitting in on drums with a local band. And as the song says, he can build a boat. Widely renowned as a top-tier lifelong builder of wooden and model boats, Amspacker knows this pursuit backward and forward, from conception to execution and practical use. Having started years earlier as a young, quote, hold the board, end quote, trainee with an experienced builder, Amspacker built his first skiff at 14, then straightaway went out floundering and clamming with her. If you needed a boat, he says, you would go to the store and order the lumber, order the nails, and they bring it, drop it in your yard, and you went out there and built a boat like you want. The Marshallburg and Gloucester area of Carteret County also features such craftsmen as those at Budson Electric Boats and Brian Blake, who, over time, has brought back to life the 28-foot Natty Lou, a skipjack he built in 1982. Heber Guthrie, too, hails from Gloucester. Years ago, he and Amspacker and Amspacker's wife, Karen, built a 20-foot sail skiff in a week on the National Mall during the 2004 Smithsonian Folklife Festival in Washington, D.C. For years, attendees of this magazine's Best of Our State New Year's gatherings in Asheville were treated to the marvel of Amspacker building a skiff just off the Grove Park Inn's lobby during that single January weekend. An incredulous onlooker was overheard asking Karen, "Will this thing float?" "Yes, it will, darling," she answered coolly, "and it'll come ahead, too." It was Amspacker who beautifully restored legendary Harker's Island flare bow boat builder Brady Lewis's 1946 Heart Pine and Juniper Core Sounder fishing boat, the 44-foot Jean Dale, which, since 2010, has proudly sat in a boat shed on the grounds of the Core Sound Waterfowl Museum and Heritage Center at Harker's Island, Eastern End. Amspacker once embarked alone from Marshallburg in the 22-foot wooden sailing skiff he had just finished and rigged, with only a box of Ritz crackers, three cans of Vienna sausage, and a jug of Bojangles iced tea. He headed north up Core Sound, leaning over while navigating the shallows of Wainwright Slough and picking up scallops off the bottom, opening them with his pocket knife, or rather with his granddaddy's pocket knife, his favorite tool, and eating them raw, not a minute out of the water. "Take that pocket knife," Amspacker had said. "I can go anywhere. I can do anything I want to do." He sailed on up into Ocracoke's Harbor just a little later that evening. best day in my life, he once told me. Present day. Nowadays, there are classes for those who want to learn how to craft wooden boats, notably at Cape Fear Community College's boathouse on the Cape Fear in Wilmington, not far from the Myrtle Grove Sound area, where T.N., also known as Simmons, developed his revered high-prow Simmons Sea Skiff. And just across the Cape Fear River from where great wooden ships were once framed and planked. At the North Carolina Maritime Museum's Harvey W. Smith Watercraft Center, where that Perry Auger was built, where sometimes build a boat in a day classes are held. At Down East Middle School in Smyrna, where Heber Guthrie has been building skiffs with students. And at Carteret Community College's campus on Bogue Sound in Moorhead City, where in recent times none other than Jimmy Amspacher has served as the school's traditional watercraft instructor. Of teaching how to build a small boat, Amspacher calls it, as he calls everything, straight up and with a wry spirit. Boat building is hard work, he says. It's not go to the store, buy all the boards already cut, or this or that or the other. It's hard work. And I have most of my students, when they get done, they are wore out saying, I didn't know it's that hard. He chuckles at that. And yet his students have done it. They've built a boat with the best of them. At last, May's Wooden Boat Show in Beaufort, the 49th annual, held along Front Street and in the waters of Taylor's Creek on that old port town. No one was more surprised than I, said amateur boat builder John Standback of Marshallburg in Chapel Hill, who won Best in Sail class for Betty Ann, named for his mother, his 16-foot, 10-inch, double-ended sailboat, a Tyrick based on a traditional Scottish craft. Standback amassed quite a collage of woods for his winning entry, including Douglas fir for her stems, keelson and spars, thwarts of cherry, and rails, tiller, and benches of mahogany. She sails beautifully, Standback says, and her shallow draft is ideal for her home waters in Core Sound. My wife Ann and I have attended Elizabeth City's Classic Moth Boat Nationals, held annually on the Pasquotank River, usually, the third weekend of September, watching the smart little moths glide, speed, and chase each other in heat after heat in the broad, bay-like waters. And we toured Southport's large wooden boat show last fall, which makes a grand maritime parade grounds out of the waterside flat above the West Bay Street near the vaunted Provision Company restaurant. We were delighted to encounter a host of Simmons sea skiffs there, the Inlet Waves Buster, including Fair and Sweet of Oak Island, Mary Ellen of Southport, and even an original T.N. Simmons 1963 20-foot model. The Opal, a Whitehall 16-foot gaff rig sailboat with a cypress hull, ash keel, and mahogany transom sat nearby. And just around the Southport shore's curve, in the water, rested a blue jacket, the Purdee, a smart and stylish cruising powerboat with a white oak exterior and red oak interior. One of a number of this line designed by the late Tom Lathrop in his Mildred's Cove boat shop in Oriental. As we wended our way home up through the green swamp on toward the hills, Ann and I saluted again all those who had built the old dugouts, the old wooden ships, the Perry Augers, Sharpies and Shad boats, the shrimpers and pogey boats, and above all, the skiffs. We thought aloud of how all those boats and their builders deserve our utmost respect, which is theirs every time we regard them, whether in backyard boat sheds, in our maritime museums, or shows in coastal towns. And too, when we watch them ply our waters under sail or engine power, and especially when we're in them, out on the water. We honor all the work our wooden watercrafts have done and can do, their stability, the beauty of their lines, and their steady and awesome ability to throw off lines and come on ahead. The couple of notes here on some of the photos I can describe to you. At Cape Fear Community College, students learn to craft boats not far from where T.N. Simmons pictured, designed his famed Simmons Sea Skiff. He built nearly 1,000 of them at his shop near Myrtle Grove Sound. And it has an outboard motor, but it has a steering column and such up front and controls up front. It has a classic bow. It's blue interior, white interior, and then, of course, a red along the line of the water line. And we have an interior view of at the Cape Fear Community College, where there's probably 1, 2, 3, 4 boats in progress and in different stages. The tradition of wooden boat building is enshrined at places like the Coeur Sound Waterfowl Museum and Heritage Center, home of the Jean Dale, and the Harvey W. Smith Watercraft Center in Beaufort. And they're showing a picture of that. It's on actually on Front Street overlooking the Sound. And they're showing a number of boats in the street for the festival. When Jimmy Amsbacher built the Miss Karen for Timothy Fulcher, he based his design on a boat he helped build as a high schooler. He still had the nameplate from the original boat, which he gave to Fulcher. And that's just a nameplate meaning the number that it's been assigned to by the state of North Carolina. All right. And our next story is entitled The Making of a Lumberjack. When students join the lumberjack team at Haywood Community College in Clyde, they learn forestry skills and discover a future all their own. And the photo here is of a saw, probably a stop motion. We have the flat side of the log with the rings, and we have the saw on top of it, just sort of, again, stop motion in motion there. Dana Charles joined the Haywood Community College Lumberjacks 2 years ago. She's now a mentor to her teammates, offering encouragement and pointers on form and technique as they master events like the standing chop block. Standing block chop, I should say. A Florida native, she loves Disney and has named her competition axes after animated characters like Dory, Wheezy, and Bing Bong. You got to have a little girly girl in there, she said somewhere. Beside the campus road lined with willow oaks in an open-air practice space that's the pride of Haywood County, a 28-year-old woman is looking for what she calls a good chop. As she works her axe, Dana Charles looks like a baseball player at home plate. She rolls her hips into her swing, rotating her wrists and using her leg strength to get enough power behind the blade. Wood slivers fly off a stout log that's 10 inches in diameter. As her eyes lock on one spot, each rhythmic stroke of her axe echoes like a milked-up metronome inside the cavernous space. Thunk, thunk, thunk. In minutes, Charles splits the log in two. She drops her axe by her side, finishing yet another workout in the home of the Lumberjacks of Haywood Community College. It's the end that always gets you excited, she says, her face shiny with sweat. That's what drives you on. You want to get it done. In Clyde, a town of fewer than 1,400 people, Haywood Community College draws students from across the state to earn a 2-year degree in forest management technology. As one of 3 schools in North Carolina offering that program, HCC has quite the reputation. So does its lumberjack team. In a sport foreign to so many Southerners, the HCC Lumberjacks have excelled. In 2021, the Still Timber Sports U.S. Rookie Champion came from the college. Today, HCC's timber sports athletes continue that tradition of excellence. Charles does, and so do her teammates, all with the help of a teacher they call George. Dr. George Hahn teaches forest management technology. Several times a week, though, he leaves the classroom and circles a big, wide-open practice space, guiding his students by using athletic aphorisms that only make sense to them. Swing through the block. Use the whole saw. That chop is your chop and no one else's chop. Hahn coaches the HCC Lumberjacks and helps prepare them for 4 competitions every year. They compete against about 10 teams from other colleges and universities in more than a dozen events with names that always need an explanation. Double buck, single buck, standing block, and underhand chop, just to name a few. But those events need no explanation to members of the HCC Lumberjacks. At practice, they work on these skills. As they do, Han teaches them the form and techniques of chopping, sawing, throwing axes and knives, operating a gas-powered chainsaw, and scaling a skinny pole 30 feet high in seconds. They don't know the nuts and bolts of what forestry really is, Han says, but here they're learning new skills and concepts and applying them. Every day is different. Every day is a new challenge. Grayson Smith likes a new challenge. He joined the team 18 months ago, and he's done well in competitions statewide. Third place in single buck, one person with a cross-cut saw. First place in double buck, two people with a cross-cut saw. On this particular morning, he gets ready to chop through a 10-inch log secured in a metal stand. It's an event known as standing block chop. Han stands a few feet away. Just over Smith's shoulder is Dana Charles. Follow through with your body, she tells him. You know what George says, activate your legs. Ever throw a baseball? Same thing, strong wrists, arms tight. Remember, Han interjects, look at where you're aiming. Smith listens. He takes a few practice swings, letting the head of his axe come an inch or two from where he wants to hit. With his eyes focused on one specific spot on the log, he follows Charles's advice. He rears back and lets his body do the work. Thunk. There you go, Charles says, nodding. Nice hit. While notoriety of the Lumberjack's talent grew far beyond Clyde, there's practice space on campus left a lot to be desired. Matt Heimberg remembers that when he came to the college 21 years ago, the team's headquarters was just a shed. But that's generous, says Heimberg, HCC's Dean of College Transfer, Natural Resources and Professional Crafts. It really was just a shack with a dirt floor and a flimsy tin roof, and it barely protected the students from the elements. It looked like a much smaller version of one of those abandoned barns you may see when you're driving down the highway. John Palmer knew that shed well. In 1977, he came to HCC to become the director of the school's campus arboretum and forestry professor. He planted the 27 willow oaks lining the main road into campus and began teaching classes in botany and forestry management, among others. In 1990, he founded what back then was known as the Woodman's Team. At their first competition in Maryland, the only piece of equipment HCC students brought with them was a hatchet. They borrowed everything else from other teams. 5 years later, the HCC Lumberjacks won the Mid-Atlantic Woodsman's Meet. Haywood has always attracted such good forestry students, but they came with no experience in timber sports, said Palmer, who retired from HCC in 2008. So you teach them, show them how to do it, and have old students teaching new students. We all do it together. And they did it in a tin-roofed shed with a dirt floor. Today, that shed is no more. In April 2020, HCC unveiled a space as big as half a basketball gym and as cozy as a barn. It covers 2,000 square feet underneath a two-story ceiling of wooden beams with a storage room full of safety and practice equipment. The team's new headquarters happened because of a fundraising campaign the HCC Foundation began in 2017. In less than 3 years, it brought in $230,000. Today, the J.M. West Junior Center bears the name of its biggest benefactor. West, a Haywood County native, worked 42 years for various trucking companies. After his death in 2017 at age 76, his trust awarded the HCC Foundation $150,000. That gift made the team's longstanding need no longer a wish. We had an old shed, Palmer says, but my goodness, that new building is like a cathedral. In and around the team's cathedral of wood and steel, Han's athletes hone skills that have become part of them. They all want to earn a paycheck under a wide-open sky, and timber sports will help to support their career. Yet they also see the intangible benefits of wielding an axe or scrambling up a 30-foot pole of yellow poplar. It feeds their spirit, gives them confidence, builds relationships, and shows them that no challenge they face is ever insurmountable. It's that self-actualization, Heimberg says. They're finding out what they're capable of, and they're realizing it's more than they ever expected of themselves. And when those moments happen in education, that's a great thing. Unlike his four older sisters, Smith didn't even want to go to college. After graduating from high school, he spent a season working at Beach Mountain Ski Resort and 2 years working full-time as a program coordinator at a camp in Brevard. In spring 2023, though, he visited HCC. He was curious about finding a job in nature. In December, he'll graduate with an associate's degree in forest management technology, and he plans to transfer to NC State to earn a bachelor's in forest management. He wants to become a forestry consultant. Then there's Dana Charles. 6 years ago, she moved to Waynesville from Ormond Beach, Florida, to live with her dad. He was a directional driller, and growing up, Charles often worked alongside him. When she came to Waynesville, she joined him once again on a job in South Carolina. Every day on their way to work, they'd pass HCC, and her dad reminded his daughter of what he wanted her to do, continue her education. This could be the place to do it. That's Haywood, he'd say, pointing. That's that college right there. 2 years ago, Charles heeded her dad's advice. She enrolled and joined in the school's lumberjack team. Today, she's a mentor to her teammates and competes at least once a month in timber sports competition from North Carolina to Pennsylvania. She's won prizes, money, and respect, and made friends with competitors from as far away as Canada. At HCC, she's completed her high school diploma, and next May she'll graduate with an associate degree in wildlife and forestry management technology. Ask her about her future career, and she talks about a forest. Ask her about HCC and the lumberjacks. She talks about her heart. She points to her left arm where flowers frame a grinning skull. Her tattoo is a very Day of the Dead in the Mexican holiday honoring loved ones lost. For Charles, it's very her. The tattoo runs from her wrist to her elbow and honors that someone special, no longer in her life, her dad. 5 years ago, he died after a heart attack. He was 48 years old. Before HCC, especially after her dad's death, she felt lost, but not anymore. Her dad was right. HCC, a 9-hour drive from her hometown, was the place where she found herself, where she restarted her life, and where she tells herself often, it's going to be okay. She didn't used to believe that. Now she does. At least once a month, she competes in timber sports contests around the country, and she won an axe box in a national competition. It's a purple axe box that says Rookie Jump Lumber Jill Championship, and she's got a case for her, a sleeve for her axe that says Charles has her last name, and she... It shows a couple of pictures of team members practicing axe throws, and they work on pole climbs. Olmsted can scale a 30-foot pole in less than 12 seconds, earning her first place in competitions and the nickname Princess Courageous. Well, that sound means we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974, and they can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. For questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. And so long until next time.